from the Conference Center in Salt Lake City, Utah, we welcome you to Stories from General Relief Society Meetings on the Mormon Channel. On today's episode, we will be sharing stories about love and kindness. We begin this collection with comments by Sister Bonnie D. Parkin from the 2006 General Relief Society meeting. Sister Parkin reminds us that we each have a need to feel the Savior's love.
When I received this call, I pleaded with Heavenly Father to help me know what the sisters in the church needed. I received a strong witness that we, his daughters, need to know that he loves us. We need to know that he sees the good in us. Feeling his love encourages us to press forward, reassures us that we are his, and confirms to us that he cherishes us even when we stumble and experience temporary setbacks. I had this message confirmed when I bore my testimony in the Sunday afternoon session of General Conference in April of 2002. That morning, I was told that Elder Haight might not be able to participate in the conference. If that happened, I would have 5 minutes to bear my testimony. I prayed extra hard for Elder Haight that day. Sunday morning, I watched him come into the conference center, and I started to relax right up until the moment that he exited during the congregational hymn. As I stood at the podium that afternoon, the teleprompter screen was blank, but the message that kept coming to my mind and my heart was that women needed to feel the Lord's love in their lives daily. It was the message I knew I needed to convey that day, and it continues to be our message. I have been humbled by your tender personal responses to this charge. Thank you for sharing how this message has blessed your life. Your words have confirmed that each one of us is entitled and needs to feel the Lord's love in our lives daily.
Later in the talk, Sister Parkin points out that our Heavenly Father's love is something we should seek daily and then share it with others.
Do you feel the Lord's love in your life? How I feel his love may be different from how you experience it. The key is to come to understand how you feel that love, and once you've felt it, be willing to share it. As a presidency, we visited the devastated Gulf Coast following Hurricane Katrina. One evening at a fireside, I stood at the pulpit and felt prompted that every sister in attendance needed someone to literally reach out and strengthen her. After the meeting, Sister Hughes, Sister Pingree, and I each stood at a different door and hugged every sister as she exited. We simply wanted to express our love to them. To any of those sisters who might be listening tonight, we left your chapel feeling renewed because of the love of God that you shared with us. Thank you for taking care of each other and the three of us. In my morning prayers, I ask Heavenly Father to fill me with his love so I can do his work with more heart. I know that I have been blessed because of this daily petition. As Relief Society sisters, we must strive to manifest the love of Christ, who always sought to please his Father by doing his will. Sisters, we must make every effort to follow his supreme example, to demonstrate such love through our thoughts, our speech, our actions, in all the things that we do and are. We must not allow vanity, pride, selfishness, or personal agendas to displace our reaching out to others. Quite simply and profoundly, we must first allow ourselves to be encircled by God's love. We do that best by embracing the Savior's eternal atonement. Then we can expand our circle to include our families and others. Such a circle is indeed heaven.
We can show our love for the Savior by serving our brothers and sisters. In the same talk, Sister Parkin shares a story about how it can be merely simple acts of service that help others feel the love of the Lord.
The Lord loves is often delivered through others as they respond to the promptings of the Spirit. Are we hearing and following those promptings? Because of financial struggles, one sister had to move from her beloved home and ward after living there for 22 years. That was painful. On her first Sunday in her new ward, she said, "I felt very alone, even though I knew a few people. I was one of the first to Relief Society that morning. I sat there and I watched the sisters file in and take their seats. They all seemed to need their own row, not just their own seat. They didn't sit by me, and they didn't sit by each other. I felt like an island." Sisters, why do we do that to each other? The sister continued. Then Lisa came in. Her face lit up when she saw me, and she charged over, popped down beside me, put her arm around me, and gave me a big hug. It's amazing how much a small gesture like that can mean. Her warmth, and I would add, her love, washed away my loneliness. I fear sometimes we only see the Lord's love in the big events of our lives. We must also see his love in the smallest of things. Don't underestimate your ability to share his love through a simple, genuine gesture, such as sitting next to another sister and making her feel welcome.
By serving others and treating them with kindness, we learn to love them. We'll see more clearly, as our Heavenly Father does, that we are all brothers and sisters. Next, in an address from the 2004 General Relief Society meeting, Sister Bonnie D. Parkin shares a story about a woman in Ethiopia. Even though she differed from the other Relief Society sisters in her branch, she was treated with love as one of their sisters.
I recently visited Ethiopia, where I met Jennifer Smith. If ever a woman could say she didn't fit, it was Sister Smith. She said, "I was so unlike the other sisters in our branch. Language, clothing, culture, all seemed to be a gap between us. But when we spoke of the Savior, the gap narrowed. When we spoke of a loving Heavenly Father, there was no gap." She continued, "We cannot change nor take away the burdens of others, but we can include and belong to each other in love. These sisters found a piece of Zion by becoming of one heart and one mind. For if ye are not one, says the Lord, ye are not mine." President Hinckley has said that if we will be united and speak with one voice, our strength will be incalculable. As sisters in Zion, how do we become one? The same way we belong to a spouse or to a family. We share who we are, our feelings, our thoughts, our hearts. In one ward, mothers introduced their daughters to Relief Society when they turn 18 in a Sunday meeting. One mother tenderly expressed how her Relief Society sisters had nurtured her from her early marriage. They had brought meals and hugs in time of sorrow, laughter and support for celebration. "They have taught me the gospel by visiting me and letting me visit them. They have allowed me to make mistakes on their time." This mother then explained to the daughter how the daisies in the garden came from Carolyn, the lilies from Venice, the buttercups from Pauline. The daughter was amazed. Her mother replied, "These women are my sisters in every way, and I am grateful to bring you into their care." It's the variety in the garden that contributes to the beauty. We need daisies and lilies and buttercups. We need gardeners who water, nurture, and care. Unfortunately, Satan knows that sharing unites our sisterhood through the everyday and through the eternities.
In Matthew 22, when Jesus Christ was asked what the great commandment was, he replied, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In the General Relief Society meeting of 2005, Sister Kathleen H. Hughes shares a story about Alicia, who returned to church activity because of the love she felt.
To become consistently charitable is a lifelong quest, but each act of love changes us and those who offer it. Let me tell you the story of a young woman I met recently. Alicia, as a teenager, had drifted far from the church, but later she felt stirrings to return. She often visited her grandfather in a retirement home on Sundays. On one of those days, she decided to attend the Latter-day Saint meetings there. She opened the door and found a Relief Society meeting, but no empty seats. As she was about to leave, a woman motioned to her and scooted over to make room for her on the chair. Alicia said, "I wondered what the woman would think of me. I was covered with body piercings and I smelled of smoke." But she didn't seem to mind. She simply made a place for me at her side. Alicia, heartened by this woman's charity, returned to activity. She has served a mission and is now sharing that same kind of love with other women. The elderly sister who shared her chair understood that there is a place for every woman in Relief Society. Sisters, we gather for strength, but we bring with us all of our weaknesses and our imperfections. Alicia told me something that I will never forget. She said, "I only do one thing for myself when I go to church. I take the sacrament for me. The rest of the time I watch for others who need me, and I try to help and nurture them." When we become instruments in the hands of God, we are used by Him to do His work. Like Alicia, we need to turn to those around us and watch for ways that we can nurture and assist. We must think about those at the door looking in and draw them to us that we may all sit down in heaven together. Not all of us may think there's room for another person on our chair, but there are always chairs to be found if we have love in our hearts.
God's love for us as His children is unwavering. In the 2006 General Relief Society meeting, Sister Bonnie D. Parkin tells us about a woman who was reminded of God's love for her during a walk with a friend.
I know of a young mother with five little children who called an older sister, who's her valued mentor, and asked, "Can we go for a hike?" Her friend knew that meant she needed to talk. Halfway through the 8-mile loop, the young mother finally said, "I can't believe that Heavenly Father loves me. I've made lots of mistakes in my life. I can't feel that I'm worthy of His love. How can He possibly love me?" Sisters, this was a woman who had made temple covenants and was active in the church, and yet she still felt unworthy of His love. The older sister quickly responded, "Of course He loves you. You're His daughter."
Our Savior's love can lift us from our most severe trials. A verse from the hymn, "Our Savior's Love," illustrates this. "Our Savior's love shines like the sun with perfect light. As from above, it breaks through clouds of strife. Lighting our way, it leads us back into His sight, where we may stay to share eternal life." From the 2006 General Relief Society meeting, Sister Kathleen H. Hughes tells us how she personally felt the Savior's love break through her trials.
My mother died when I was still a young mother. I needed her counsel and advice. After her cancer was diagnosed, she only lived 6 weeks. Initially, my concern was for my father. I felt grateful that Mom had not suffered long and that her death had been a sweet experience for us. But a few weeks later, Mother's Day and her birthday were coming, and I began to miss her terribly. I wanted her arms around me, and I wanted to know that she was all right. I wanted to tell her that I loved her and that I missed her. One night, as I was praying and crying, which I often did then, I felt a comfort fill my body suddenly and powerfully. The feeling restored me. It gave me peace. It did not last long physically, yet it was immensely comforting. I knew what it was. The Lord's love encircling me and granting me peace and strength. But just as important, that moment has remained in my memory as a sweet gift to unwrap and remember when life is difficult. Sometimes, too, the moments of love and the resultant peace have come unexpectedly, and when there's been no need, no particular problem or issue that I've been facing. One lovely autumn Sabbath, I was sitting in my scripture reading chair, watching the yellow leaves fall from our neighbor's apricot tree. I looked up from my scriptures and, without warning, felt a sense of peace and contentment wash over me. The moment was fleeting, yet the memory of the love I felt has been lasting. It is a gift of memory to recall when life and times are difficult. I also know that we can seek the Lord's love in the very simple things of our lives, when life is not difficult, and in the everyday parts of our lives. I seek it, and when I seek it, I experience it, and I feel the Lord's love encircle me. I see evidences of the Lord's love in my morning walks, when the air is clear and the first hint of light is in the east. I feel his love when a verse of scripture springs to my mind and speaks to me in a new way. I recognize his love when I'm taught by good women in Relief Society or by visiting teachers who take care of me. I sense his presence when my heart responds to beautiful music or a memorable talk. Sisters, the Lord is everywhere when we open our eyes and our hearts to his love.
The love of our Savior has power to comfort us in times of sorrow. Often others are sent to help. In the 2006 General Relief Society meeting, Sister Ancy Pingree shares a story about a friend who received love and kindness through a surprise visit.
A friend told me of an instance when she was inconsolable. She felt such sorrow over a family tragedy that on one day she could not even leave her home. Unannounced, a Relief Society sister came to her door and said, "I had the feeling you needed me." The sister did not probe or ask for details, but rather enfolded my friend in her arms and asked, "Would you like to have a prayer?" After their prayer, the sister left. That kind touch and sensitive approach did much to heal my friend's broken heart. This loving Relief Society sister not only listened to the Spirit, she acted upon that prompting. In a real sense, she showed that the virtue found in the doctrines of salvation had touched her so profoundly that she worked daily to be Christ-like. Her actions reflected her personal understanding that charity never faileth. Of the millions of you faithful Relief Society sisters who, like this compassionate sister, reflect that everlasting love of Christ, which is charity, President Gordon B. Hinckley has said, "Innumerable are the deeds of these remarkable and wonderful and unselfish women in succoring those in distress, in binding up the wounds of those who have been hurt, in giving cheer and comfort to those in distress, in lifting up those who have fallen and giving them strength and encouragement and the will to go forward.
In another example from a 2007 General Relief Society meeting address, Sister Sylvia H. Allred shares an experience of kindness and love.
While living in the Dominican Republic, I went to visit a sister who had just gotten home from the hospital after giving birth to her third child. I was surprised by how well and calm she looked. Her other two children were still so young. After a few minutes in our conversation, she shared with me how peaceful she felt because the Relief Society sisters had signed up to come to help her every day for the next few days. She felt loved. My visiting teachers were always the first to come to see me and bring meals after I got home with each of my newborn babies in San Jose, Costa Rica.
It's no surprise that the Relief Society's theme is Charity Never Faileth. Just as our Heavenly Father's love never fails us, we should never stop serving others. In the next account, President James E. Faust tells us about a woman named Susie who never gave up on the woman she was assigned to visit. This is from the 2005 General Relief Society meeting.
In these days, visiting teachers do much good. 12 years ago, Susie was called to be Dora's visiting teacher. A widow with no children, Dora had a difficult personality and was almost a recluse. When Susie first began visiting Dora, she was met at the doorstep but never invited in. Several months later, Susie took a treat to Dora, but Dora said she could not accept it. When Susie asked why not, she answered, "Because you will want something in return." Susie assured her, "All I want is your friendship." After that, visiting became easier. Gradually, Susie found the ways to do things for Dora and to listen when listening was needed. She would also tell her about the wonderful people in the ward, the lessons and the conferences, thus making her feel a part of the ward. As Dora's health began to deteriorate, Susie's visits were daily, and they became close friends. When Dora died, Susie was able to eulogize the woman others called unapproachable as a remarkable woman and a cherished friend. She knew her as few others because of her service as a visiting teacher. Relief Society is a sisterhood and a place where women are instructed to build their faith and to accomplish good works. As President Ingley has often said, we all need friends. Friendship fills us with warmth and love. It is not confined to the young or the old, the rich or the poor, the little known or the public figure. Whatever our circumstances, we all need someone who will listen to us with understanding, pat us on the back when we need encouragement, and nurture in us the desire to do better and be better. Relief Society is designed to be such a circle of friendship, brimful with understanding hearts that generate love and accomplishment, because above all, it is a sisterhood.
Most are blessed with families and friends to lift, love, and comfort one another. We should have an attitude of gratitude when we are on the receiving end and look for opportunities to be on the giving end. This has been another episode of Stories from General Relief Society Meetings on the topic of love and kindness. For more information, check out radio.lds.org. This is the Mormon Channel. Tell your friends about us.